societies in the past used to have rites of passage to mark major transitions in your life. Times when you could be alone. And think about what the change in your life would mean. People used to grow up quite a bit during those periods. It could be the rite of passage from adolescence to adulthood, mourning after a death. In Thailand, when a woman would give birth to a child, she'd have a whole month off. Her friends in the village would come and they would build a fire next to her to keep her warm, give her massages, take care of the baby, so she could have a time to rest and be herself again. A lot of that is missing in modern society. And so it's good that we can at least have some time out here at the monastery. Because these rites of passage are not just time for yourself, they're structured. And life here at the monastery has some structure. And you've got a task, working with a meditation, to give you some grounding. Otherwise, you can spend 2 weeks alone and go crazy pretty easily. But the task here gives you some focus. How to get the mind to settle down and step back from its thoughts. This is an important part of growing more mature. As you see certain identities that you've been taking on, and you can step back from them and say no. I was reading a while back, there was a book by a psychologist who had focused on issues of adult development, not just child development, but how do adults grow as they grow older, and to what extent can they grow up? And he found that one of the most important things in the lives of people who do make a big change at adulthood or after adulthood starts is for someone to encourage them. This is the role of the teacher here. And it's not just encouragement. Also to form another set of eyes. In my own case with John Fuang, that first year I was there studying with him, I was hashing through a lot of my earlier life. And issues would come up and I'd suddenly find myself reliving problems not only from college but sometimes from high school, even grade school. And sometimes I talk to him about it, and just being able to talk to something about the life of an American in an American grade school to a Thai monk gave me some perspective, looking at my life through a very different set of eyes. Helped give me some distance from a lot of these issues. So this is the kind of environment we're trying to create here, one where you have some time alone, but there's structure to it, and there's also another pair of eyes to give you some distance. That quality of distance goes with a sense of humor, so you can learn how to laugh good-naturedly at your old ways of thinking. And that's the best way to outgrow them, is to see that they may have made sense back in your old way of life, but giving your new framework, giving your new understanding of things, the shift of power in your own mind. You can see how ridiculous it would be to hold on to something. This is a lot of what insight is about, is seeing your old foolishness, seeing that you have been a fool. It's different from seeing that you are a fool. To see that you are a fool leaves you no, with nothing to work with at all. But to seeing that you have been a fool, but now you recognize your foolishness, that's how you grow. And this is why the task of the meditation is such an important backdrop for all this. Because it gives you a sense of well-being inside, so that the laughter can be good-natured laughter. There's an old saying from the Greeks, the gods laugh. Well, the gods laugh at human beings because the gods are one step removed from the human beings. then you only get to be one step removed from your old ways of thinking, your old ways of running your mind. So think of this opportunity as you're here to meditate now as a kind of a rite of passage. And see what you can do to grow, no matter what your age may be. There's a lot of growing up that we can all do. That's when you take responsibility for your actions and realize that some of your ways of thinking and acting and speaking are going to have to change. That's how you grow. This boils down to two main qualities. One is heedfulness, seeing that your actions really do make a difference, and that you've been careless in the past. But you've got to hold yourself to a higher standard now. That phrase in the chant right now, just now, the world offers no shelter. There comes a point in everyone's life when you realize that the shelter of your parents is no longer there to protect you. It may happen while they're still alive. And you've got to stand on your own two feet. That's a lesson in heedfulness. The other quality is restraint. Realizing there are a lot of things that you might like to do and that the children in your mental committee might like to do. But if you give in to those impulses, it's going to be bad. You're going to suffer. This is another reason why we have the meditation to fall back on. The sense of ease and well-being that you can create with the breath. The sense of feeling balanced and stable. So the fact that you're giving up certain old ways of thinking and acting and speaking doesn't make you feel deprived. You're gaining something better. An opportunity to get the mind really to settle down. And the fact that you're getting the mind to be still makes it more sensitive to your actions and their results. So all these factors work together to make this a growing up experience. So even though we don't have rites of passage, we do at least have time for ourselves, structured time for ourselves. We can think things over, look at our lives. Decide what's really of value. And then look within ourselves to see where we have the resources to bring that value about.